This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, July 15, 2020. The Memorial of St. Bonaventure by Father William Doc Holliday.
You have hidden these things from wise and understand. You've hidden these things from the wise and understanding. To understand the things of God, it takes not just study. Notice I said not just study, because it does take study. It does take self-conscious effort delving into the things of our faith and the teachings of our church. That is absolutely necessary. But nothing can come of that unless there is the grace of the Holy Spirit that opens our eyes to the truths. Because you can have a bunch of facts, and you can know the facts objectively, but how those facts are working together, you may be completely ignorant of it. The first reading today from the prophecy of Isaiah, such a scenario. God is using the Assyrian nation, a pagan, godless nation, to chastise the nation of Israel, his people. It's interesting the way this whole thing pans out here. In a nutshell, the people of Israel, they think they're okay. You know, they're not doing everything they're supposed to do, but is that really a big deal? Is there really a God in heaven? Does he really care what they do, what they don't do? Yes, he does. They just don't think so. And he uses the pagan, godless nation to punish them. They invade them, but it's interesting for this godless pagan nation, they think they're doing it of their own accord. They think that they are just doing what they do, invading another country. But God lets us know that they are working for him to chastise his people. So neither his people nor those ones that he is using to do his bidding, neither of those sides know what he's doing. The only people that know is his prophet and those who will listen to his prophet. Isaiah, of whom there are very few that will listen to Isaiah. They know. They know the facts. You know, for instance, everybody knows the facts. The Assyrians know, hey, we want to invade Israel. And the Hebrew people know, hey, we're being invaded. Only God knows why. Only God and his prophets and those who will listen to his prophets. We have to bring that up to our own day and time, because this is a way it works. It always has worked this way. We can think we know a whole lot about our faith. I know all kind of people, and they'll sit down in my office or somewhere, and they'll just lay it out on me on all the things they know about the Catholic Church, and all, and I am dumbfounded how truly little they know about their faith. It's ridiculous how little a lot of people who go to Catholic churches every Sunday know about what the Catholic Church teaches and believes. But they'll tell you till they're blue in the face, and they'll tell you hard how much they know. It's sad. It really is. It used to frustrate me, but now it doesn't frustrate me anymore. It makes me sad, because it pains me that the gospel that our Lord is speaking about today does not apply across the board, even to his people in his Catholic Church. You have hidden these things from the wise and understanding. Why does God do things like that? Why would he hide information from people? Because he demands faith. He demands faith of us, and that faith is manifest in, for instance, I was saying about the people of Israel who didn't know why the Assyrians were coming, and the Assyrians not knowing why is because they didn't listen He didn't listen to the prophet. Why do people come in my office and tell me how much they know about the Catholic faith? And I look at them and just kind of internally, anyway, because I don't want to make it too obvious, wag my head. Why do I wag my head? Is because they haven't listened to what their church teaches. They've listened to what Father so-and-so has said in their parish for their whole life of 40 years, and they have no clue whatsoever that this church is a whole lot older than 40 years. There are 2,000 years of stuff that we can work through and study and understand. And this is what we have to be attentive toward, is understanding that we must not just be wise and understanding, but we must come to our Lord with any information that we think that we may have, and we need to glean from the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. We need to have Him open our eyes to the truths of the faith. This place is loaded, and I mean this parish, this building. Members of this parish is as loaded with people who have come to the Catholic Church from other Christian bodies, some of them even just the pagan world, no Christian body whatsoever. Why did they wind up here? It's got to be the Holy Spirit, because a lot of these folks were very, very committed to their old ways, very committed. And all of a sudden, something happened. For some, it was quick. For some, it was a more long process. But at the end of the day, the Holy Spirit opened their eyes in some way, for some reason, to make them understand that there was a more full expression of the faith to be found in the Catholic Church. For those who were pagans in the world, they came to be baptized. It really dumbfounds me. I love baptizing infants, and it's so cute, and it's, you know, new Catholic and everything like that. But to baptize an adult who's never been to church ever in their whole life, that's something very, very unique. You get this, the Holy Spirit is working. Nobody, you know, parents bring children in to be baptized. Nobody brings these adults in except the Holy Spirit. And it's a very special thing, for me anyway, when that happens. I appreciate it because it makes this a reality for me, that the Holy Spirit does open people's eyes. That it's not something that I read about in a book. I like when it's manifest in my life. It encourages me. I appreciate it. We all should. This is the way we need to approach our faith. This moderation between study and understanding and just opening yourself up to the Holy Spirit. Today, the memorial of St. Bonaventure. St. Bonaventure is like the personification of what I just explained, moderation, particularly in his order. St. Bonaventure was a very brilliant young man, and he became a Franciscan, and then he went to study. Franciscans were known, and he was a contemporary of St. Francis, St. Dominic, and the Dominicans. And the big difference between the Dominicans and the Franciscans, and the Dominicans were very studious, and the Franciscans were much more service-oriented. St. Francis himself really was leery about people who studied a lot, because he was into this tremendous amount of simplicity and poverty and service. And he figured that that would be clouded if somebody went study, because people that study have a tendency to learn things. And when they learn things and other people don't know what happens, there can be this, at least a perception of that they are lording it over other people. St. Bonaventure was an interesting character in the early days of the Franciscan order, because St. Bonaventure approached things with moderation. He was studious, he was brilliant, and he was a very humble Franciscan friar. There was a moderation between the two things, and he always tried to keep the tension between those two elements in the Franciscan order, because there were always, even from the get-go, those who thought that it would be more important, because I think there was this sort of perception among Franciscans, they were kind of maybe looked down upon by the Dominicans who knew everything. That was never the case, but because there's two completely different vocations there. But like I said, when someone is very learned, it just, they can have that aura. But if they have the Holy Spirit guiding and directing their life, they don't come across like that. St. Bonaventure never came across like that. And he was renowned for, I mean, he actually did a discourse when he was in school that dumbfounded his professors. He taught them. You know, they were getting up there, you know, you're, impress us with your exposition of the Book of Sentences. And St. Bonaventure wrote us, they were floored. He brought in things that they had never considered before. He was brilliant. But in his moderation between his brilliance and his service to the order, he always wrote this line. For instance, if you look in your breviaries, the older breviary, it's today is St. Bonaventure, Bishop, Doctor of the Church. Interesting thing about his bishopric, his episcopacy, he was elected to be a bishop, but he was never consecrated. As soon as you're elected to be a bishop, you're a bishop. Like when our bishop, Stephen Lopes, I knew him as a Monsignor. And when he was called into the Pope's office and told that he was going to be a bishop, from that moment, you get to wear the pectoral cross and you make bishop decisions. Your consecration is ready. You are a bishop as soon as you're elected. St. Bonaventure was elected. He was a bit in his humility, he struggled. He was elected in November, and the next October, he hadn't been consecrated yet. And that was enough time for him to go, he turned down the appointment and went to study. This is that humility of which our Lord Jesus Christ talks. Because, you know, somebody like St. Bonaventure, if he's doing a good examination of conscience, he is aware of his own interior, probably, leanings. And you cannot help it if, okay, I'm a really smart guy, now I'm a bishop. It just lends itself to an unhealthy balance if you're a Franciscan religious. And he did the right thing for him. It's a good thing. He manifests what our Lord Jesus Christ. And we see the same thing in people like St. Thomas Aquinas. St. Thomas Aquinas the same way. St. Thomas Aquinas was smarter than St. Bonaventure. Okay? Probably a subjective statement right there, but he wrote a whole lot more about a whole lot of different things than St. Bonaventure. So let's just say he was more a prolific writer, much more academic sort of person. And he was so humble that they called it, he was a large man. St. Thomas Aquinas was a big, big man. And he was so humble that when he went to school, they called him the dumb ox because he wouldn't answer questions and he didn't engage in conversations and things like that. They actually sent a tutor to him. He said, well, you're not answering questions in class, so you must need some work on this. And he said, why? Thank you very much for sending me a tutor. And within like a couple minutes, the tutor was like, what? And he started asking him direct questions and he needed direct responses. And St. Thomas Aquinas is like flooring him with his intellect. But he was so humble that people didn't even recognize it. This is what our Lord Jesus Christ is talking about. This is the way each and every one of us should approach our faith life of moderation. It should be service and study. And it doesn't matter what your vocation. Well, I don't have time to study. I just have time to go to Mass on Sunday. It's imperative. It doesn't make any difference what you do. You must study your faith. You must learn, particularly in our day and age. Because you can't always trust Father. You can't always trust His Excellency. Okay, there's a lot of people you can't trust in the church nowadays. So you have to learn. You have to step out and study. You have to check when people say things. This is that moderation between buying into everything hook, line, and sinker that I've heard in this parish for 40 years and actually learning what your faith is taught for over a period of 2,000. It is a profound difference. Because as good as Father might be in your parish for the past 40 years, guess what? He's only one individual. He's only one frail individual, and there is so much more to understand. This is what our Lord Jesus Christ is talking about when he says, no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. How does the Son choose to reveal? How does the Son reveal the Father? Through the Holy Spirit. Through his Holy Spirit. This is what we have to understand. This is that action of God Almighty himself within our very beings, within our souls, that guidance and direction that we get from the Holy Spirit who is infused in our souls and our baptism. So we need to appreciate this paradigm of moderation. It is not a suggestion. It's a, well, I like this part, I don't like that. You must do both. You must study your faith and you must serve your church. Those two things, no matter what your vocation may be, and you can work it into your vocation in a stellar way, okay? And it's very easy to do so. It just takes a little bit of effort. But both of those things are necessary because the Holy Spirit is the one that has to reveal God's truth to you. You can have a lot of facts, but you may be missing the truth. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.